Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for a brand new edition, brand new week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you. Yesterday was a very exciting day, to say the least, in the NBA. Free agency got underway at about 4 p.m. And at about 10 minutes before, the news started trickling in. And I'll tell you, it was a terrific day for the Utah Jazz. Joining me in the studio today, Travis Anderson. Travis, always great to have you along as well as we talk free agency. I don't think there's any doubt Utah Jazz, big winners.
Jazz are the big winners. I think if you go back and look, even more so than the Nets, because I think we all assumed that the Nets would probably land Kyrie, KD fall. But I like what the Jazz did. I love Ed Davis. I think it's a great pickup. They get Bogdanović from, what, the Pacers? And you add him with Mike Conley. That's a deep roster in the Western Conference.
It's sad. It's a sad day for Jazz fans because you have to say goodbye to Derek Favors, and he has been the heart and soul of that team for quite some time. But as you mentioned, Ed Davis is just a sneaky move. I really like it a lot. Bojan Bogdanović coming over is a terrific, terrific deal for the Jazz. 4 years, $73 million. And we're going to talk a lot about the Jazz next segment here on the show. But here's what I like. And it doesn't matter if we're talking basketball, football, baseball, hockey. It doesn't matter. I'm a believer of protecting your assets. And anything in the NBA, an asset in the NBA, is something that you have invested money in. Okay, Donovan Mitchell is the superstar that the Jazz have needed, the Jazz have deserved for a very long time. I don't think Donovan Mitchell is going to go anywhere anytime soon. I don't think you ever have to worry about this guy leaving in free agency. I could be wrong, but Donovan Mitchell is that kind of guy. Problem is, he had to become a chucker because the Jazz offense was putrid. Okay, Joe Ingles received a contract, and part of it may have been Utah trying to keep Gordon Hayward, but Joe Ingles can score the basketball, and he has a part on this team. When I look at Bogdanović, he complements both of those players extremely well. And let's not forget about Rudy Gobert, who the Jazz are going to have to pay, right? The floor spacing in Utah is going to be completely different. This is a team that's 7 or 8 deep already that can now score the basketball. The Jazz are going to be very dangerous. On paper, the Jazz look fantastic right now. If I had to peg my top three teams, I can't put the Lakers in the West yet just because they only have 4 players on their roster. But if we're looking at complete teams right now, yeah, I'm going to say the Jazz are better. Jazz are the best team in the West right now. I really believe that.
On paper right now, the Jazz are the best team in the Western Conference.
I believe that.
And I like Denver, too. I like Denver's roster. Golden State, we'll have to see what Golden State does with D'Angelo Russell. There's movement or talk they might move on from him. Warriors are going to be good. Portland is a team you have to watch out for. We don't know about the Lakers because the roster is in flux right now, so we'll have to see.
I expect the Lakers to be the top team in the Western Conference because I do believe that Kawhi Leonard is going to end up signing
in. And then when that happens, I believe they add Andre Iguodala, Kyle Korver. I think Rondo comes back. I mean, it's going to be a very good roster. Houston, I don't like the makeup of the Rockets. I think the Rockets are still one of those teams that you don't have to, you know, worry about because they don't play defense.
Yeah, and as far as the Golden State Warriors goes, you mentioned bringing on D'Angelo Russell. It's a great move. I don't know how they use Russell. I don't know if he's in the long-term plans. But nonetheless, they found a way to get something for Kevin Durant yesterday. To me, nobody could have expected Golden State to bring down D'Angelo Russell. So I thought that was terrific on behalf of the Warriors. But at the same time, the Warriors are not going to be as good as they were this year. And why do I say that? Well, they don't have Kevin Durant. Okay, they don't have Andre Iguodala. And when I view Iguodala, this
plays out till March.
Plays out till March as well. But Iguodala is a guy that was Finals MVP for a reason.
Slow down LeBron in that Finals. It really was the difference. And Sean Livingston might be a guy that they have to move on from. So, and then, you know, Draymond Green's due for an extension this coming up, off season.
Now, I'm not writing Golden State off. But on paper right now, yeah, the Jazz have the best team in the Western Conference. That could change, but I believe that they are the best team in the West right now. Let's take a look at some other news and notes out of the NBA today. The Boston Celtics have signed Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter will now move over to the East. You know, if Boston would have found a way to hang on to Al Horford, I'd have been fine with the Celtics. Honestly, I would think that Boston would be, if not the team, one of the teams to watch in the Eastern Conference. I don't know that Kanter really does it for me, but getting Kemba Walker yesterday, I don't think they lose a whole lot between Kemba and Kyrie. I really don't.
For the makeup of that roster, I think it's an upgrade just because Kemba's attitude and everything. He'll mesh better with those young guys. So, yeah, adding this Kanter, it's another big where you lose Aaron Baines, you know, and Al Horford. So the Celtics are right back towards, you know, being, you know, a competitive team to come out of the East.
There were a couple of trades today. On his way to Portland, Hassan Whiteside of the Miami Heat. He's been traded for Mo Harkless and also Myers Leonard. I'm back and forth on this deal because Hassan Whiteside's not a great defender. He can block shots, but he's not a great defender. If you look at Portland, Mo Harkless was one of the better defensive players on this team, as was Al-Farouq Aminu. Now, you've lost both of those two guys. But I like what Portland's doing in the middle, trying to find a replacement for, you know, Nurkic, who went down last season. I don't know who's a big winner here. I do like that Portland is trying stuff. They went out and they get Kent Bazemore. Now they get Hassan Whiteside. Like I said, they're going to look much different defensively on the perimeter. But Whiteside can protect the rim. Not a great defender, but he will protect the rim.
And offensively, he's not going to give you any, give you much. You'll be, you know, if he gives you 10, 15 points, you should feel very grateful for that. But yeah, he's just going to be a guy down there that's going to protect the paint.
Trade talks right now. Bradley Beal is in rumors. Once again, the Miami Heat have engaged the Washington Wizards in talks to get Bradley Beal. I'm just speaking realistic. The only way the Heat can get Beal, and the only way that I see Washington moving on from Beal, is if they find a way to get rid of John Wall's contract. Okay, and that is going to be very difficult. If that contract is moved, and I'm a John Wall guy, I know you're a John Wall guy, but that may be the worst contract in the NBA right now, especially coming off of the injury that he suffered. Okay, so if they find a way to move that deal, I will never, ever use the term unmovable contract on this show again. Because to me right now, it is unmovable.
Yeah, that contract is one of the worst contracts that the Wizards could have ever gave out because it hampered him with the cap space. And if a team takes that on, their cap space is done for the next, you know, 3 years. It's a horrible contract.
Beal coming off one of the best seasons of his career, averaging 25-5-5, I believe is what his final season averages were. If you pair him with Jimmy Butler, who I think is one of the best two-way players in the game, I'm a big Jimmy Butler fan, did not see Jimmy Butler going to Miami, missed on that prediction. But if you know, you do pair him with Butler, I think the Heat have something. I think it's one of the more formidable teams that they have had in quite some time. Now, how do you get this deal done? That's the question. They have cap space by moving on from Hassan Whiteside, and I don't believe they would hesitate to move on from Goran Dragic either.
They got to move, yeah. We don't even know. With Goran Dragic, I guess, in that scenario with Dallas and that three-way trade, they got to work out the details of that one first.
Right.
I mean, Dallas thought they were getting two players, and Miami thought they were giving up two different players. So who knows what's going to happen in that situation with the Heat and the Mavericks.
Some other news coming out. Former Jazz man Wesley Matthews has agreed to a deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. ESPN has broke that news. So that's a look at some of the latest headlines in the NBA. From a national sports standpoint, I mean, it is all NBA right now. We knew that was going to be the case. And so we will spend the majority of the show today talking NBA basketball. I do want to look at Major League Baseball, though, give you the rundown of what is happening today as we near the All-Star break. It's right around the corner. A few matchups today, very short slate. We had one final already as the Kansas City Royals fell to the Toronto Blue Jays earlier today, 11-4. And we have five other games to talk about. The Cubs will travel to meet the Pirates. Pirates are playing pretty good baseball right now. This is an interesting matchup.
Pirates are right there in the thick of things. I think they're 3.5 out. They have the set with the Cubs. They could do some damage, you know, and catch the Cubs if they can get a clean sweep this week.
We get Baltimore at Tampa Bay at 5:10, as well as Milwaukee taking on Cincinnati. 6:05 tonight, Angels, Rangers, and then in the nightcap, it's the Giants and the Padres. Jeff Samardzija will go up against Logan Allen in that contest. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll go over the local sports scene, give you the news and notes there. Plus, we'll be joined by Dan Clayton of SaltCityHoops.com. If you're a Jazz fan, you're on cloud nine right now, and very few people understand the ins and outs of the cap and what the Jazz can do next, as Dan does. So he'll join us to talk about that. Plus, we'll talk other news and notes of free agency on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with American Legion Baseball, where this past Saturday, the Helper Merchants lost for the very first time in the state of Utah as they suffered back-to-back losses in doubleheader action at home against Lone Peak. Following in the first contest 12-2, Helper was unable to rebound offensively in a 10-3 loss. Setbacks dip Helper to 7-2 in league action, which puts them just ahead of Salem Hills, who was in second at 5-3, followed by Lone Peak in third at 7-5. Now, following the two losses, Helper will now take a full week off as the league has hit a moratorium period. Helper will return to the baseball field on July 10th. They'll travel to Springville for doubleheader action. The next home game will take place on July 13th, and that'll be against Harriman. The following day, Helper will wrap up the regular season with a highly important contest against Salem Hills. It'll be doubleheader action in that contest at 6-8. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will have more on the Helper American Legion baseball team in the coming days as we'll catch up with manager Dakota Cincineros. We move over to the national sports scene, and the Salt Lake NBA Summer League will get underway this evening at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Presented by the University of Utah Health and the Utah Sports Athletic Commission, the six-game four-team summer showcase will be conducted in a round-robin format with the Utah Jazz, San Antonio Spurs, Memphis Grizzlies, and Cleveland Cavaliers. Games will be held at 5 and 7 p.m. each night. The Jazz will play the nightcap. Tonight, Utah will square off with Memphis, who drafted Ja Morant with the second overall pick in this past NBA draft. San Antonio and Cleveland will start the action off at 5 p.m. Tomorrow, the Jazz will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers at 7 p.m., and then the Jazz will wrap up the three-game stint on Wednesday as they take on the San Antonio Spurs. Tickets are on sale right now. Lower bowl tickets for tonight's action, only $9. That's for a one-day pass, and that does give you access to both games. Three-day passes are available for only $16. The Salt Lake Summer League showcases rookies in the 2019 NBA draft competing in their first NBA games. Sophomores, select free agents, and athletes competing to make an NBA or G League regular season roster. We move over to rodeo. And this past Friday and Saturday, it was the annual Heritage Days Rodeo, which took place at the Huntington Fairgrounds. And now, we'll prepare for the 69th annual Sunnyside Rodeo. This event is a tradition for many in our community, and it will go down on July 12th and 13th, and it will kick off at 8 p.m. both nights. Admission is only $8, and kids 6 and under will get in free. There will be concessions, chicken chases, the dash for cash, hide races, bull riding, and a whole lot more. Again, do not miss out on the 69th annual Sunnyside Rodeo, taking place July 12th and 13th. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. It's there you'll also be able to listen to previous Drive Time Sports shows, which you can hear live Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. Just click on the Drive Time Sports link, and you can listen to the show on demand, which includes interviews from local coaches, athletes, and national guests. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, and of course, we're going to be talking a lot of NBA basketball throughout the day. If you are a Utah Jazz fan, you have got to have the biggest smile on your face today. Although you may be sad about Derek Favors, still over the last 48 hours, I mean, it's just been terrific to be a Utah Jazz fan, and we are going to talk Utah Jazz basketball right now with Dan Clayton. He's the managing editor and columnist at Salt City Hoops and is a terrific follow on Twitter as well. I mean, if you're a Jazz fan, make sure you follow him at Dan Clayton. That's C-L-A-Y-T-0-N, and he is joining us right now over the phone to talk about the Jazz. Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, Jordan, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, as I mentioned, if you're a Jazz fan, you have got to be smiling. I know you and I talked a little bit off of the cuff. You couldn't recall the last time a free agent period was this fantastic for the Utah Jazz.
I mean, honestly, I don't think the Jazz have ever signed a player as a free agent who was coming off an 18-point-per-game season, right? Like, Carlos Boozer and Mehmet Okur were signed in the same offseason back in 2004, and that was a big offseason. But both of those guys were coming from being sort of lesser role players who then got better later as their Jazz careers went on. And Joe Johnson was obviously a big signing, but by the time he signed, he was definitely on the downward slope of his career. I can't remember getting a guy of Bojan Bogdanovic's stature as an unrestricted free, you know, signing him away from another team that had the ability to keep him, and then adding, just as a coup de grace, adding Ed Davis at the room mid-level. Ed Davis has started for most of his career. He's a starting caliber center who took exception money to come play behind Rudy Gobert and help the Jazz out from a depth perspective. I don't think Jazz fans could be, any happier, or they certainly should be happy with the way that the first day of free agency played out for the Jazz.
Yeah, not only the first day, but about the first hour. I mean, that's how fast it was. So to get Bogdanovic, as you just mentioned, and stealing him from a team in Indiana that Indiana, I like what the Pacers did yesterday as well. Obviously, you're not going to be able to fill the gap of Bogdanovic, but nonetheless, landing Ed Davis, to me, that's such a sneaky move for someone that maybe is a lighthearted basketball fan, right? Maybe the name Ed Davis doesn't really strike a bell. Maybe you're not too familiar with him. I mean, he spent some time in LA, spent some time in Portland. This guy is really, really good defensively when he is on the court.
Defensively, and the guy is a rebounding machine. He's got flypaper hands and grabs like double-digit rebounds per 36 minutes. He's really good at that. Like I say, he's good enough to start on a lot of NBA teams, so the fact that he would willingly embrace a role where he knows he's going to be playing behind Rudy Gobert is substantial, and here's what he does, Jordan. He lessens the sting of losing Derek Favors. I mean, I know that as excited as the Jazz were about Bojan Bogdanovic, the tough thing about losing Favors is that Favors was both the starting four on this team, and he was an elite, maybe the best backup center in the NBA last season, and probably the Jazz's third best player in overall terms when you think about just contributing to winning. So losing Derek Favors hurts, and obviously Bojan will replace a lot of the production at the four spot and also play some small forward minutes. But really, they needed to also get a player like Ed Davis so that they could be confident that they had 48 minutes of quality play at the center spot. And, I mean, heaven forbid, but if Rudy Gobert misses any time, I mean, you know, he missed a couple of months in the season two seasons ago. So, you know, it's not like out of the realm of possibility that Rudy Gobert might tweak something at some point and need a week off or a couple weeks off or whatever. And if that happens, heaven forbid, you know, you need to know that you have someone that you can look to provide some starting caliber play at that center position. And the Jazz were able to get that at less than a third of the cost of what it would have cost to retain Derek Favors. So doing that, I think, emboldened them and made it easier to take the leap of faith and go after Bojan, who, as I mentioned, he's a real basketball player.
We'll talk about Derek Favors here for a moment, because it seemed like his Utah Jazz life had nine lives. I mean, every trade deadline, every offseason, we're talking about Derek Favors being on the move. I remember talks going back 4 or 5 years ago. You know, is Derek Favors going to be wearing a Utah Jazz uniform when we wake up in the morning? I do believe that small market teams sometimes get attached to certain players that become fan favorites. And I know Jazz fans are extremely sad to see Derek Favors go. This is an instance where I truly, totally understand it. This guy was the heart and soul of this team for the last few seasons, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point, he's the longest tenured Jazz man. Just really tied to everything that the Jazz have been building for the last several years. He's the last remaining link to the Jerry Sloan Jazz. Actually, that's not entirely true. He joined the Jazz via trade about a week after Jerry Sloan quit. But you know, to that era, at least, of basketball, he played with Andrei Kirilenko, for example. He's just been a part of the family, a part of the organization for such a long time. The fans are understandably sad to see him go. And hey, like, to your point about nine lives, I'm not even convinced, Jordan, that it was was a foregone conclusion that he was gone this summer. I think there was a short list of players that would have made the Jazz comfortable in moving on from Favors. And if they hadn't gotten any of those guys, I think there's a really good chance Favors would have been back in that same role, and the Jazz would have been willing to see if the presence of a shooting point guard and scoring point guard in Mike Conley might have made it more workable to play Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors together more often. But the way it played out is they got one of those guys on the list, one of the guys that they were excited enough about that they said, hey, let's take this in a slightly different direction, really move towards a pace and space type of construct with four shooters around Rudy Gobert as an elite rolling and finishing big man. And that's the way it played out. But, you know, I know for a fact that it was not without heartburn that they let Derek Favors go to New Orleans.
Again, we're being joined right now by Dan Clayton of SaltCityHoops.com. We'll talk more about where you can find Dan's work in just a moment. Again, as we continue to talk Utah Jazz basketball, all the talk about shooting and the help of Donovan Mitchell. But Dan, when I look at what this Jazz roster now holds, I'm really excited to see the floor spacing around Rudy Gobert. How long has it been, or has Rudy ever had this much floor spacing since he's been in Utah?
You know, it's funny. I'm working on an article right now, and one of the things I point to was, I don't know if you remember this, but around the trade deadline, Zach Lowe, who's a prominent and well-respected columnist for ESPN, he wrote something about how the Jazz would be scary good if Jay Crowder were 10% better than he is, right? Meaning, you know, those lineups with Jay Crowder were extremely positive and the Jazz were really good when they had him on the court, even though Jay Crowder is an inconsistent shooter and, you know, has some liabilities and whatever else. Well, guess what? They were able to get a player who's like, I don't know, 50% better than Jay Crowder, twice as good as Jay Crowder. I don't know exactly how to do that math in macro terms, but Bojan Bogdanovic is a substantial upgrade from Jay Crowder in terms of someone who can step in and be that stretch four. And they did it while also upgrading, obviously, from Ricky Rubio to Mike Conley at the point guard. So, yeah, they're just going to have so much more space. Jay Crowder, you know, he did a lot of things really well for the Jazz. He brought toughness. He brought leadership. But he was like a 32% shooter from the corners, I think, last year. Meanwhile, Bojan Bogdanovic shoots over 50% from the corner three. And that's a shot that's really important to the Jazz to make sure that there's room when Rudy comes rolling down the lane in the pick and roll. So Rudy's going to have a ton of space to work with. Donovan Mitchell is going to have a ton of space to work with. Mike Conley is going to come off pick and rolls and have a lot of options. You know, Dante Exum, when he's healthy, is going to be able to slice through the lane with that elite quickness and make some decisions in a spaced floor. So I think it's going to be great for everybody involved, even though obviously the players they had to give up were all players who contributed things, but this is just a new-look Utah Jazz that's going to be really interesting and dynamic offensively.
Right, and I'm always a believer that when you give someone a lot of money or you bring in a contract that you're going to be responsible for the next couple of seasons, you have to do a terrific job of protecting that asset, right? Because Joe Ingles is obviously considered an asset. And when I look at some of these moves over the offseason, Dan, I can't help but think this is going to really lift Joe Ingles as well. I think finally you're complimenting that contract that you gave him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say one thing to start. Joe Ingles was never on the table in any of the deals that the Jazz were discussing this summer. The Conley deal, in terms of how they might create space to go after another player like Bojan Bogdanovic, you know, Joe Ingles was never on the table. The other thing I heard is that Dante Exum was never on the table. The Jazz are still real believers in his elite tools. You know, he has two areas where he's elite at an NBA level. That's on-ball defense and his speed with the ball and ability to break down the defense. And they believe in that stuff. So those are players that the Jazz always wanted to keep as part of their depth and part of their roster construct. And the fact that they were able to go out and add two difference makers in Conley and Bojan, to say nothing of Davis, which, again, was kind of just the cherry on the top last night, and honestly a little bit surprising that they were able to land him too. But to go out and get two difference makers and two starting caliber impact players in Conley and Bojan without sacrificing their depth was really amazing. Because, you know, if they'd gone after Tobias Harris, for example, I think there's no way you get to Tobias Harris without sacrificing Joe or Dante. And obviously that's part of the reason why the Jazz got a player who, frankly, I think fits even better than Tobias, and they did it at a price point where they could keep some really good players around Bojan, around this new core of really Conley, Mitchell, Gobert, and Bojan, four really interesting star-caliber players.
For someone that covers the Jazz, someone that eats, drinks, and sleeps Utah Jazz basketball as you do, Dan, this is the first time in a really long time that we could talk NBA championship-type expectations. I mean, really, when you go back and you think about it, it's been a decade since we've been able to have a conversation like that. For Jazz fans, I mean, this has got to be a day where, again, on paper, you have a legitimate chance to compete for an NBA championship.
Sure. And, you know, if you look at other things that are happening in the West, now, some of this will depend on, there is one big fish out there in free agency still, and that's the reigning finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard. He might land in either LA team, and if he does, then that changes the power structure a little bit. But you have Golden State that lost Kevin Durant yesterday and has Klay Thompson healing up from an injury. You have Portland, who were conference finalists last summer, but, you know, they have some depth problems, and they're going to lose some guys because financially they're strapped and not able to keep all of their, Seth Curry and Enes Kanter are both going to defect from Portland. Houston has some issues. They wanted to get Jimmy Butler. They're not going to be able to get Jimmy Butler. So, you know, like all of the teams around the Jazz who might look at what's happening in Golden State and say, hey, carpe diem, this is the moment to seize the mountaintop is unguarded. Let's go claim that space as ours. I think the Jazz are in as good of shape as anybody to do that, obviously pending Kawhi's decision and where he lands.
Dan Clayton, again, at SaltCityHoops.com. Dan, it's a pleasure, as always, to get you on the show. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, SaltCityHoops.com is where I do most of my long-form writing, and then I'm doing a bunch of reacting and, you know, cap math stuff as free agency develops on my Twitter account. That's Dan Clayton with a zero for the O. Dan Clayton, zero N.
Yeah, definitely one of the best Twitter followers as far as Utah Jazz basketball, and as you mentioned, even the cap. The cap's a very confusing thing, and I only have a few hours throughout the week to do this show, not enough time to explain the entire cap, so again, just follow Dan Clayton. He'll break it all down for you. It's a fun time to be a part of basketball, isn't it?
It is tricky, but it's a lot of fun to get into it, and so I do spend a lot of my day answering people's questions about, wait, how does that work, and wait, what can the Jazz do now, and, the short version is that the Jazz will fill out the rest of their roster with minimum salary players, but that's fine. I mean, they've already really been one of the big winners this offseason, so we'll see what they do to finish up, but most of the big work is done for Justin Zanuck and the Utah Jazz.
Dan, a pleasure as always. Can't wait to do it again soon. Thank you again for the time.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Definitely a pleasure to get Dan Clayton on the show today. We've got a break for just a moment. More free agency chit-chat coming up when we return. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. This is say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you're right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
The initial wave of free agency is now complete. A lot of faces changing. I mean, a lot of big news last night in the NBA, yesterday in the NBA, I should say. Once free agency kicked off on that Sunday afternoon, things got crazy, and they got crazy in a hurry. I was complaining last week about the fact that we don't have that midnight thing anymore. I really enjoyed that. waiting up all night, staying up all night, and watching the news trickle in. Yesterday was a lot of fun. We had plenty of shows throughout the national media outlets to keep you up to date on what was happening. And, of course, Twitter was a hotbed for NBA news. We're going to talk about that right now. Free agency in the NBA, joining us over the phone as he does every week. We have Jameson Welsh, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider and analyst. Jameson, it is always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you again for taking out the time today.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Always looking forward to the conversations. I had a great mutual friend of both of ours on the show Friday, Jabari Davis, and we were going back and forth making predictions on free agency. For the most part, I didn't think anything was real shocking outside of D'Angelo Russell. That was one I did miss on. I thought Russell would end up signing in Phoenix. But nonetheless, he goes to the Golden State Warriors and what's going to be a massive sign and trade. Jameson, that was without doubt the biggest surprise of Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of, I don't know if there's a whole lot of surprises. I mean, there's a lot of things that took place yesterday that were kind of, like, mind-blowing. The biggest thing I had was this. It was, like, the money, the amount of money that veteran guys were getting, like Trevor Ariza and J.J. Redick. The amount of money in their mid-30s that they're getting is very, very, very noticeable. Like, it's basically, we're at the end of an era to where guys are taking pay cuts to go on winning teams or go on contenders. I think that era is over. That era has now been replaced by the buyout era. So it's a lot of stuff that's been intriguing. But, I mean, there were so many moves yesterday, it's hard to digest, Jordan. Like, it really, there were so many moves coming at a crazy pace and rate that you kind of had to sit back and wait for, like, every 30 minutes to see what exactly happened to where and whom and what. And it was wild. But there was a lot of good moves out there. Some questionable ones. I think the biggest move was probably, you know, we all knew Durant was leaving. We knew Kyrie was leaving. I think the biggest move that was kind of shocking everybody was Al Horford. I think that's the big move that everybody was like, whoa, okay, what is Philly doing here? And, you know, is it a good move? Is it a bad move? Whatever. I think that's the most intriguing move of the day was Horford won Philly.
Yeah, we knew that there was a mystery team. We didn't know who it was, and so we knew the money was out there for Horford, and we knew it was going to be someone that could at least contend because he walked away from $30 million with the Celtics. And look, had he stayed in Boston with the Celtics getting Kemba Walker, I think the Celtics would have been fine, really. I think that that would have been a good situation for Al Horford. So we knew that there was something appealing somewhere for him. Now, again, I'm going to go back to the Golden State Warrior deal with D'Angelo Russell. I did not see this coming, but when you take a look at KD going over to Brooklyn, which I think was somewhat predictable going into the weekend, especially if Kyrie, it seemed like that was a done deal. Those two were going to go play with each other. The fact that the Warriors are now giving their team somewhat of a facelift, Jameson, this is a good move for Golden State. Is it a panic move? Maybe a little bit, but I believe that D'Angelo Russell will have a lot of trade value moving forward, and at the same time, you've had 5 years with a similar core. At what point in time do you run the risk of becoming stale? That's what Bob Myers had to ask himself yesterday. I actually like the fact that they went out and got D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, they give up a little bit. I know it's sad. If you're a Warrior fan, you're sad to see Andre Iguodala leave, but again, going back to it, you run the risk of becoming stale while everyone around you is getting better if you stay the same. I thought the Warriors had to make a move, losing Kevin Durant. They had to do something, and I think they did that with Russell.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what's going to happen with D'Angelo. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets traded before the season starts, because here's the thing. Like, he doesn't fit what they do. He's not, you know, he's not a defender. He plays the same position as a guy they're paying $40 million. He would be a nice stopgap until Klay comes back so he can score, but he really doesn't fit their mold. So it's very intriguing on what's going to happen. I think he's going to get moved. I don't think he's going to be on that roster going forward. I think he's eventually going to get moved. I really do.
Well, if that's the case, again, I point back to not a bad move. He's one of the top 5 or 6 free agents out on the board, and they found a way to acquire him. That's why I like what the Warriors did yesterday. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where he's definitely is an asset. And whenever you're able to acquire an asset, you're losing your guy, it's always a good thing. Now, here's the thing, what happens. A lot of crazy stuff can happen. Nothing would surprise me. I don't know who they're going to move him for. All I say is nothing would surprise me. I don't think he starts the season with them, but again, nothing would surprise me regarding this particular matter.
Because it is a sign and trade, they are able to trade him before the season starts, correct?
I believe they would have to wait 30 days to retrade him, unless it became a 3-team deal.
There you go. So it is possible. Nonetheless, they found a way to get something out of Kevin Durant. There was the report that came out yesterday, and we'll talk about the Knicks here in just a moment, but the report that the Knicks were not willing to offer Kevin Durant the full max. I don't know that it would have mattered. I don't think it would have mattered at all. I don't think that Kevin Durant was ever going to go to New York. I guess maybe it would have been just, good lip service for your fan base to say, hey, we tried, we gave KD the max. But Jameson, for all of the hoopla regarding the Knicks yesterday, I don't think they did all that bad, really. I know that it's not what Knicks fans had in mind. That's a major market, a major franchise. They've been bad for so long. You want that immediate impact with KD and Kyrie. I really didn't think the Knicks had a terrible day.
They didn't. I'll do one better. They actually had a good day. They didn't. You cannot give a max to a guy that just ruptured his Achilles. You can't do that. It's one of the dumbest things you can do. And I love Kevin Durant. He's my favorite player to watch in the league at this point in time. However, if I'm an owner, I'm not paying the guy that kind of money. We've seen how that injury works. Guys usually get hurt more when they come back from it because they're overcompensating for other stuff. So I would not pay a guy the max. And think of it like this. 20 years ago, they gave Allen Houston 5 years, $100 million. That didn't work out. He sat down for more games than he played. Amar'e Stoudemire, similar situation, had a great first year. After that, terrible. Why would you continue to do the same thing over and over and expect different results? That's insanity. So I actually commend the Knicks for saying, you know what? Nah, we're good. Now, the issue is this. The last year or so, the expectations in the media has kind of set up the fan base for failure because the expectations were, hey, this guy's coming. He wants to be here. He moved his offices out here. That's all you heard for a year. So when it doesn't happen, people want answers. And it's very unfortunate. Excuse me. It's very unfortunate that took place because now the fans might look like, hey, you know, what happened? What's going on? Is this another Nick being Knicks? And it's like, no, it just didn't work out. And this is the same thing the Lakers have been going through for the last few years as well. The media sets you up so they can stump on you when things don't go your way. It's a crazy game they play, but that's how it goes.
Absolutely. Again, Jameson Welsh, our guest right now as we talk NBA free agency. You know, you bring up the Lakers and the way things have gone down. You mentioned some names for the New York Knicks. I want to throw some names out there as well for the Lakers. They missed on Dwight Howard. Turned out to be a good thing. They missed on LaMarcus Aldridge. Turned out to be a good thing. They missed on Carmelo Anthony. Turned out to be a good thing. When I look at what the Knicks were able to accomplish yesterday, I love the signing of Julius Randle. This guy was absolutely fantastic last season. Again, if you're a Knicks fan, it's not all doom and gloom. It's the immediate impact in getting a marquee guy. And I'll tell you who doesn't help matters any, Jameson. You're talking about the media. Stephen A. Smith does not do any favors to this franchise.
Oh, he doesn't, but also you got all them writers and all them blogs out in New York that are, you know, they're pumping the same stuff. So it's one thing to have Stephen A. on TV every day, but you're reading your local guys. I saw Ian Bagley, Adam Zanore, all those guys back there that are major guys. They're writing every day, commenting every day. You have Kevin Durant's agent, who is New York-based, who's Roc Nation, who's involved. So you got a lot of stuff going on. With that being said, it's tough to not pay attention to it, and it sells. Kevin Durant is one of the best basketball players ever. Anything he does is going to sell. So with that being said, it's one of the things where, hey, people are going to pay attention. People are going to look at it. And if you do it time and time again, you're going to eventually believe what someone's selling. And it sucks that they got sold short. That's kind of how it goes. The Knicks are going to need one of their draft picks to be good. That's what they're going to need. The free agent stuff, it's going to be a while before somebody goes there. Giannis ain't going there in 2 years, so stop that. That ain't happening. They're going to need their picks and the guys they acquire via trade to pan out well. They're going to need R.J. Barrett to be well. They're going to need Trier and Knox and all those guys to be good players because free agents aren't going to a place where players aren't good. It's not happening. Like, you got to have some guys that got some promise and potential. The Lakers start getting free agents when their players were good. They got LeBron because, hey, you know what? Ingram, Kuzma, pretty good players. And then they were able to trade those players for Anthony Davis. So you got to have your own set of players before you actually become good.
Jameson, before I let you go, we have to talk about the Utah Jazz. I know we just talked about them last segment, but I got to get your thoughts on it. Right now, as it sits, they may be the most complete team of the Western Conference. It was a fantastic day for the Jazz, and again, we just talked to Dan Clayton about that. But your thoughts on what Dennis Lindsay and the Utah Jazz were able to pull off yesterday?
It looks good on paper. It looks good on paper. It sounds good. Gotta see it, though. They got a couple guys that have injury issues. They have a lot of guys that have never had to play with expectations. It's one thing to play when you're, you know, expecting to make the playoffs and that's it. It's another thing when people are saying you should be in the conference finals. Two totally different worlds. So I want to see how this team actually comes together, how it's formed. Quinn Snyder is a very good coach, but I want to see how this team actually works when there's expectations of, hey, we might make it to the finals, because they've never had to go through this. And I will say this, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot, but I need to see more efficiency for him, because he was a chucker last year. He took a lot of bad shots and didn't really get talked about that much. So I need to see what he's really about and if his game improves. Because it's one thing to be a guy at 6'3", 6'4", that makes some nice fancy plays, but can he play winning basketball? And that remains to be seen.
Jameson Welsh, again, our Drive Time Sports NBA insider. You can follow him on Twitter at the Jameson. Jameson, something tells me this is not the only time we're going to connect this week on the show. We have a lot still to unfold, including Kawhi Leonard. I appreciate the time today. I always look forward to the conversation.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show when we return.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Travis, we've talked nothing but NBA basketball, and rightfully so. That's a lot going on in the league right now. Maybe we say this every year. I don't think we do. Craziest free agency period that we've seen so far. I don't think we say that every year.
We don't. I think this is one of the free agent class that had a lot of good players in it, and there's been a lot of movement. As the salary cap keeps increasing, you're going to see those big contracts keep, given out, and it's just going to happen again next year and the year after that.
But a lot of stupid money.
Yeah, there's a lot. And these teams that are giving these dumb contracts out with a lot of money, they'll regret it in a couple of years, because you can't. The amount of money that they're paying for, like Trevor Ariza's contract with the Kings, just doesn't make sense.
2 years, 25 mil?
Yeah, what are you doing, Sacramento?
Yeah, that didn't make sense. Phoenix did not make sense.
And everybody's, getting on the Lakers for, you got to get these guys. No, the Lakers were playing this perfectly fine. Wait for Kawhi if you don't get Kawhi, and then go out and get what's left. A Danny Green or whoever the case may be. I like what the Lakers are doing. They're just being patient.
Yeah, the only team that I'm looking at right now, I think Toronto, even without Kawhi, Toronto will be okay.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference is one of those conferences. If he goes back to Toronto,
they're not going to win a championship without Kawhi.
No, but they're one of the teams that can push in the East.
They will be okay. They will compete in the East. Really, I don't think there's any chance Kawhi goes to the Clippers. I'll say it right now. I don't see why he would go to the Clippers.
Why would you?
Which tells me, or which is obvious, they would be the big losers of this whole deal.
All we've heard is Kawhi wants to play with somebody else, right? Well, there's two guys already sitting in Los Angeles that he can go play with. There's nobody with the Clippers. So if he wants to team up with other superstars, then it makes the most sense to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, he's going
to
take his time with it. But again, all eyes are on Kawhi. And I think we've hit a wall as far as player movement until Kawhi makes that final decision.
Once Kawhi signs, I think you're going to see a domino effect with the Lakers already have five deals in place. And all those guys will follow Kawhi to the Lakers.
I think so. We do have NBA basketball back tonight. Summer League will make its return to Vivint Smart Home Arena. Travis, you and I will be in attendance tonight for the Utah Jazz contest. They take on the Memphis Grizzlies at 7 p.m. It's kind of the preseason of Summer League this weekend. We get the big, big Summer League in Las Vegas. Every team's going to be there. But nonetheless, a little bit of, like I said, preseason action. Spurs, Cavs at 5 p.m. Then we get the Grizzlies and the Jazz. I would expect Vivint to be rocking tonight, because first off, there's always a great turnout for Summer League in Salt Lake. But based off what the Jazz have done over the last 48 hours, I would expect tonight to be a pretty rocking place at Bevin Smart Home.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. The crowds have been great since Salt Lake got this back, so it's fun to go up there and, you know, see these rookies.
Yeah, again, it's a different type of a different type of summer.
These guys are battling for a spot.
Jazz.
I mean, yeah. Some of those guys are battling to, you know, make a roster
or a G League roster
or make training
that,
camp. So. Yeah,
summer league tonight makes its return to Vivint Smart Home Arena in Salt Lake. I want to thank Dan Clayton and Jameson Welsh for taking out the time to join us. Tomorrow we'll be right back here doing the same thing. Maybe we'll have more NBA free agency to chat about. If not, we'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll have Bill Lasky on with us tomorrow. He's typically scheduled for Monday, but today, just way too much NBA free agency talk to get into. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Have a terrific Monday afternoon. We will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. We are out.